All right, it is Friday, November 23rd, 2018, or as I like to call it, it is Black Friday.
You like to call it
that. Yeah, you know, just me.
Did you come up with that?
No, I did it. It's been around for a long time, I'm sad to admit. But I am excited to say, and I'm glad I'm getting the grief that I am already this morning, because it is bright and early. It is 7 a.m. We are sitting in the Mall of America, right in front of the largest Lego Transformer in the history of at least Minnesota, and of course, Adventureland as well. So, guys, how are you doing this morning?
We're tired, but we've had like three cups of coffee. Four laps around the Mall of America.
We have.
Floors 1, 2, 3, and somehow we ended up on 4. Which isn't as fruitful as we might have thought.
Not a lot of retail on 4.
Not a lot of retail on 4.
Yeah. Or open.
Yeah, actually, nothing open. The Comedy Club is not open
at 7 a.m.
Not even the bars. No Bloody Marys. But it's good to be here. This is what we live for. This is retail. The next, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks is retail. So it's fun to be out here together as an OmniTalk crew. What did you guys think? What were some of the big takeaways?
Well, I think there were winners and there was losers. I think we had a couple big insights I think we want to talk about here for what we had noticed. And I think I hadn't been to the mall in Black Friday for a really long time, but I think we saw a ton of stores that were packed, but then on the inverse, we saw a ton of stores that had not a single person in them.
That's true.
Yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of especially the people who are newer to the mall store experience, like local brands that are trying out their first stores, I was a little disappointed. I mean, there's nobody in those stores, and for some reason, they decided to open Black Friday, probably wanted to test and see if they had an audience, and nobody's in there. I feel sad for them.
It's just not really captivating. Yeah, I think the other thing that caught my attention, I know we were talking about this as we walked around, was it's really young.
Yeah.
Like, I used to think Black Friday was, like, my aunt and my mom and, like, all my relatives getting everybody together and, like, going and making a day of it, like, this true social thing. Man, we're here 7 o'clock in the morning, and, like, the only people here are teenagers.
And I wonder if that has, you know, I think there's a lot of implications for that.
Yeah,
I think we're seeing a lot of different things because of that demographic, but I would say, are we going away from the lining up at JCPenney and now sitting in front of Lulu to get that at 20% off, or going to the big new Nike store here, and going to more of the newer retailers and then bringing in the younger demographics thanks to the focus that they've had for the last 24 months? And it's actually showing to be fruitful a little bit, at least in this morning.
Yeah, and I don't know. What do you think?
You guys, I don't think that it's much of a departure from, especially at Mall of America, of all places.
Yeah.
I don't think it's much of a departure from the usual crowd here. I think people, it's a day after Thanksgiving. There's a ton of tourists right now.
We're in town.
Right. You have two hotels connected to this space. I mean, if you think about what people are going out and doing in the morning, it's, you know, it doesn't surprise me that you got a lot of teenagers that are walking around here, and some people that are trying to get some 50% off deals at Old Navy and Gap.
So if I kind of read between the lines of what you guys are saying, it's interesting. It's like what you have then is the mall is still just a thing to do. It's psychologically, it's a place to go. It's a thing to experience. So what you're saying is, like, Carter, what I heard from you is, like, the older generation, it might not be that thing anymore, because now it's like, let me do all this shopping at home and I'll spend time doing other stuff. But like Ann said, for the younger kids, it's actually some place to go and get outside from the family that's probably driving them nuts, you know, at the holidays, right? Like, they're coming out and they're out here with their friends, and they're in and out of all these, every store these guys are in is on sale too.
Totally.
Like, so you can tell it's hitting that demographic.
And I wonder, it's been a while since I've been that age of young or whatever that is, but I think when I hear...
It hasn't been that long.
It was just like yesterday
terrible
for me.
Friend.
I saw a bunch of buddies here. It was great. But I would say, you know, when you talk to your aunts or your family from last night and you say, well, what are we going to do tomorrow with all the cousins? And the Mall of America is the last on the list.
Yeah.
They list off, it's packed, the parking's horrible, you have to drive all the way down to Bloomington, all of this. But I think at the end of the day, the younger demographics thrive off that. They've been stuck with their families the entire last couple days. They've been off school and bored. And they're like, we're going to go to the Mall of America, that's where everyone is. And when was the last time you heard a 16-year-old complain about parking? Like, I don't think it's a thing that's registering with them.
Yeah.
Just I think the stereotypical barriers to entry that I think, you know, maybe the older demographics, more traditional demographics, are more, or even maybe a draw to some of these younger people.
Yeah.
What I think is even more interesting are the stores that are not even open.
Right. Like, who wasn't open today?
So, like, Nordstrom, Shutter, Apple Store, not open
to
yet.
Me. Shocker.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of places that are like, look, this is not, that crowd is not our demographic. It's not worth staffing, having all of the operations in place to be here and open and serving people at 5 a.m.
I don't blame, I mean, it hurt your soul seeing some of the empty stores and then being fully staffed.
Knowing that Club Monaco.
Yeah, knowing that team's been here since, what, 3 a.m. or whatever time we opened, and that is brutal.
Yeah. And one thing I will say, though, is every time I come here, there's always something new that I discover in terms of that experiential aspect of just going to a place. Like, there are things here that you never would have known until you just kind of happen upon them. They do a great job with that. Mall of America does an awesome job with that. Well, what else did you guys know?
So we see the beauty brands. I mean, unbelievable traffic going through every single beauty brand space.
Macy's beauty section was packed.
Yeah. I mean,
Sephora.
It is a good time for those deals. You know, you're starting. This is the time of year when a lot of those beauty brands do gift with purchase, and it's a popular gifting item. So I think if there are people who are shopping either for themselves, like we were saying earlier, Carter, or they're looking for gifts, that's a hot spot to be.
Totally. No, I'm a big thing about these winners and losers in terms of you look at this new demographic, and I think us being here is so important because what we're seeing is with that contrast I continue to mention, and then of course you have like the biggest sample size of the new generation of shoppers all within one space, and you're realizing that they will stand in line for the brands that they love and the brands they adore. If you look at Lulu, you look at Nike, you look at those types of things, and they are standing in line, they are waiting, they're going through the limitless barriers that have been put into place for this whole experience. But not a single person in the big Macy's, not a single person in the big Sears, not a single person in some of the brands who have not accommodated that new generation. I get, that's not everyone's target market, but I think it's a super, super good example of why catering to that market and finding out what they want and what they need, they will jump over barriers left and right in order to get to your brand and buy your product if you do it right.
That's interesting to think about. I mean, you got me thinking there too, is like, you know, the people that have kids now are the ones who grew up with malls in the 80s, right? And now it almost seems like in some ways the malls haven't transformed that much or changed that much, and now those people all have kids. So like, how do you make a mall experience around that versus now you have this new generation that is craving something experiential. So how do you start to tailor to both sides of that without alienating one or the other? You know, are there different malls for different groups of people or different types of experiences? I don't know, but man, it's pretty young here today. I can't believe how young it is.
I guess I just keep going back to, though, you guys, like, it's not different than a normal mall environment. These same stores, the athleisure stores, the Lululemons, the Athletas, the Fabletics, like, they're packed no matter what day of the week it is.
It's just they have great brands. Or
right,
products
it's a bigger version of the same mall audience. It's just a mall holiday.
But here's a question, though. Would they be still packed, and I fear of jumping onto a new topic, would they still be packed if they had a standalone store? Like, do they need the mall, or does the mall need them? Like, beforehand, the mall used to be the place because you would have traffic left and right. But if you're seeing such affinity for brands like Lulu and Apple, like, why do they need them all? And not proven, but you hear about, especially Apple stores, getting free rent because malls can't afford for them to leave.
Right.
I'm curious, like, 10 years from now, like, why is the mall here? And I think, obviously, we're standing in front of the, you know, Transformer Lego and the entire theme park behind us. I think this is a outlier.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, why do you need, you know, Southdale in the first mall around? Like, why do they need that?
I think to say you don't need it is tough. I mean, I think if you create it in the right context for people in their lives and what they have to do on a given day, I think they can still prove really valuable. I mean, I think what we've talked about today is you're seeing kids want a place to go, right? Okay, so if you want a place to go, what can you put around that place to go? And so Apple, Lulu, I mean, anybody's going to draft off that. I think that's important. There's still things people want to experience in a physical space, right? So that's beauty, things that you just can't accomplish online, right? But I think what you're also seeing, which I think it always tricks up the question, is that you're seeing a lot of people gravitate towards sale. And that's inherently what is the issue, right? Is that that can't be what brings you in. And so you've either got to be a brand that stands for something, or you've got to be a place that is experiential in some way, shape, or form. But if you're just on sale, as you've seen, like, some places have no traffic because it's just not compelling. So there's some interplay across those three things, which I would still say that a physical construct, whether you call it a mall or something else, still matters. It's just a question of what form and shape it takes.
Well, and I think that's an interesting segue into a space like Four Posts that we went into, which is a collection of you know, a lot of local retailers, and as you see malls investing in spaces, mall owners investing in spaces like Four Post, and we walk through there today, Black Friday, I mean, that's not a Black Friday demographic, but yet they're open. And so what are they going to learn, and how are those types of mall experiences going to evolve based on these types of mall holiday events?
Yeah, Four Post was interesting, you know, and I had never seen it before, and I had researched it, and obviously, Anne, you've done some work on it, and I think at the end of the day, it's a really interesting experiment for the Mall of America specifically, especially on a day like today. I thought it was interesting to go back to the staffing model. There were a lot of paid employees in Four Post today. So I think every brand is requiring someone to sit there and represent their brand. And I think that adds a layer of value that might be necessary to those brands. Part of it is the creator aspect. How is it being represented? It's that personal kind of add-on. I just would be curious, how could that be better? How could staffing change within the environments like that, or could it change, or how could that be more efficient on a day like today?
Well, I bring it back to, what are brands that are in those spaces in a test scenario learning from being in there for Black Friday versus having their own store in, you know, one of the city centers, having a standalone shop? I don't know that this is a good test case for that, for those vendors.
Yeah, or using technology to not require having people staff it all the time. There's tons of different ways to look at that, but a lot of even those models you're seeing, it's kind of old. In a lot of ways, it is older retail, just, you know, on shorter term leases.
That's a good point too. I mean, that was a big miss today. I didn't see a lot of technology being implemented, especially when you start to look at like Lululemon. I'm kind of surprised that there wasn't some sort of like hold my place in line app or something like that.
Well, so it gets in this interesting subject of, you know, we talk about, you know, not implementing technology. Go back to Four Post, say, well, why do you have to have so many people here?
Right.
But then I made the point of, you know, that's the value of the brand. It's the experience. It's what the employees bring. But once again, we got to remember where we are. We are here on Black Friday. People are coming to get their goods and eventually get out. And I guess maybe that's not even accurate anymore either when you look at the demographic. But I just wonder, I remember when the Apple Store came up on holiday, the pinnacle for in-store experience, the best of the best employees, all of that. But they had a dedicated section, and this was years ago, simply for people who wanted to get iPods and get out.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many moms and dads who are coming in and wanting to spend $160 on that iPod and get out, and it was seamless. You walk in, get it, scan and go out.
Well, I think your point, we'll get the audience out of here on this too, is I think people need to be careful. Like, you don't need to talk to a person to experience a brand. I think that's one of the biggest fallacies. Like, I can go experience the Apple Store without talking to anybody, and it's still an awesome experience.
Very true.
And it also really depends on what margins you're trying to command through that experience, right? Like, and that's where specialty retail suffers. Is like, there's a lot of special retail stores you don't care if you talk to anybody.
Totally.
All right. Well, that wraps us up. I mean, I think big takeaways, you guys. What do you say? I mean, like, so we've got, it was young, right?
Yes.
It was maybe lack of technology. I think we stumbled on that one in terms of seeing a lot of innovation in that space.
Right.
Still experiential in terms of beauty, and the mall still being kind of a place that people need to go and they want to go to socialize and get away from things. So did I miss anything else that you'd add there at the end?
No, I think more packed stores of the same, like I was saying, the athleisure stores. Like, there's just more people in the beauty stores, in the athleisure stores than usual. But.
Yeah. Which kind of follows the trend lines, what you'd expect, right?
So, yeah.
Well, that was awesome. Thanks for getting up with this crazy old goat today, you guys, at 7 a.m. in the morning and hitting the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. If you want to see retail at the ground floor of what's happening, this was it. It was awesome. So thanks to everyone out there listening. Hopefully you enjoyed it, and as always, be careful out there.